Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. I'm your host, Tyler Waugh. Since the very beginning, God's design for people is that we don't do life alone. And since then, finding a sense of community is something that all humans have found vital to our physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. Not only that, as followers of Christ, we get to be a part of the ultimate community, the church. As young adults starting new jobs, having children, and attending college, finding a sense of community is one of the most important aspects of our lives. But as you might have learned, finding community can be difficult, even as Christians. Today on the show, we talk about what community is, why finding community is vital to our lives as young adults, what can make finding community so difficult, and some practical ways we can foster relationships in our communities. Buckle up, everybody. This is Road Trips. So you may have recognized that we didn't introduce a guest on the show. That's because we have a returning guest on today's episode, Zachary Wall. Welcome back to the show.
Good to be invited again.
So Christian community is something that we see throughout Scripture, and it's a really important part of our Christian lives. And as I was thinking about you and I talking, it hit me that a lot of our conversation is about Christian community in the church, especially with both of us being in ministry. But it's not just simply a trendy, cool word. It goes much deeper than that. How would you define Christian community?
Yeah, so I think in some ways you could probably use the phrase Christian community and the word church interchangeably. So the church you attend is a Christian community. But I think the Christian community goes well beyond the church you attend. So the community is a much broader scope, and there's many more people than just your local church that you go to. It's a community that is not defined or confined to the walls of a building, but rather a community that is united in the belief that Jesus was the Messiah. So it's a community of Christians, of like-minded people, that is not limited to a physical space or a point or a particular location on a map. Now, if you just look up the word community, community defined by the dictionary, it has two different definitions. So one is a group of people living in the same place or having a particular characteristic in common. So when you think about that definition, this is what we just talked about. So the local church would meet the first part of that definition. You're living or you're doing life in the same place. That's your church. You're living out the Christian principles. You're worshiping together. You're serving together. You're praying for one another. You're grieving. You're laughing with one another. You're doing life together, right? That's one part of that definition. Now, the second part was about having characteristics in common. And you think about that, what could that be in our Christian community? Well, going back to what we started with, that could be our common belief that Jesus is the anointed one, that he was the Christ. But then there's a second definition that is found in the dictionary for the word community. And it's this: fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. So when we talk about what a Christian community is, fellowship has to be a core component of it. In other words, a Christian community, if we just define Christian community and sum everything up that I've just said, a Christian community is a group of believers who do life together, and this extends well beyond the church. So that's how I would define Christian community.
Yeah, and that seems like something that people are, especially nowadays, are really longing to be a part of, especially young adults. For young adults experiencing so much change in our lives, like we talked about last week, finding community is such a big part of our new lives. But finding that community can be really difficult. Why do you think that is?
So I think there's many, many reasons why finding community is difficult. And at least to me, it seems like finding community is more difficult now than it was 30 or 40 years ago. And I think one of the reasons, the biggest barriers to community, is that we have believed the lie that an in-person Christian community can be replaced with an online Christian community. And I just don't think that's the case. In fact, in 2 John, at the very end of John's letter, he wrote a very interesting verse that applies so well to 2024. He said, "I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete." So even from the earliest Christian writings, that's in the first century, right? People understood that some things needed to be done face to face or in person. There's value in doing that. There's value in human beings coming together. And even John, a long time ago, he realized, okay, some things are better not said over pen and paper, or today we could say over the phone or direct messaging. Like, some things are meant to be done face to face. So think back 4 years ago in March of 2020, when COVID really shut down the entire world, and it shut down churches all over the country. Now, we were still able to worship at home, and churches found different creative ways to make that happen. But we were still able to communicate with other members of the church as well, via phones, computers, etc. But it was clear to me, and I'm guessing to you as well, that the Christian community needs to do things together, in person. So the first Sunday we returned after what I think, if I remember right, was around a 7 or 8 week hiatus, the fellowship, and what I mean by fellowship is, in this instance, is the talking before and after worship. That was incredible. No one was in a rush to get to lunch or to go take a nap. It's as if they wanted to stay all day in the building. Now, maybe if COVID had happened in September and the Cowboys were playing a 1 o'clock game, maybe everyone would have left a little bit sooner. I'm not sure. But we realized in that moment how important community was. It's something that no online platform can replicate. Those platforms are great and have their places and have many, many benefits, but they can't ever replace what you receive, what you get, that longing we have to be together with other people, other believers. So that's one reason why community and finding it can be very difficult. Another reason is that it takes work on our part. So often we have to be the ones to initiate a relationship with someone else. So I recently taught an adult Bible class at our church, and it was about loving our literal neighbors. And one of the things we talked about is, if you have never met your neighbors in your neighborhood, and I'm talking, again, your physical neighbors, people living in houses or in apartments next to you. If you have never met your neighbors, despite living in your house or in your apartment for years, you don't have to feel too bad about it, because they haven't come to meet you either. So there's guilt on both ends. Yes, we haven't done it, but guess what? Neither have they. Both sides are guilty there. It takes effort to find a community to be a part of. And if finding a Christian community is a big part of our lives, especially among young adults, we got to make an effort to find it, or perhaps even build it. Perhaps it's really almost non-existent in the place where we're at, and we got to build that community. So we must make an effort to do that. And if we're expecting a community to one day knock at our door and ask us to be a part of it, then I think we'll be waiting forever. It'd be nice if it happened that way, but it simply is not the case. It takes effort, and sometimes it takes a lot of work and a lot of time.
So it seems like nowadays there's a push to neglect Christian community. We hear phrases like, I want Jesus, but I don't want the church. It might be because of past hurt, might be because of things that they may have seen online or on social media. What are some ways we can show others the beauty of Christianity and the beauty of Christian community and kind of counter that movement to have Jesus, but not the community of believers?
Yeah, that's a good question. I want to first start by addressing the quote that you said. The quote was, I want Jesus, but I don't want the church. So if I were to address someone that said that quote to me, I would turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and read verse 25, which says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So Jesus gave up his life for the church. He thought that the church was that important. So if we truly want Jesus, if we want all of Jesus, then we will want and desire to be a part of the church. Now, if we're content with just part of Jesus, the parts we like, then that may not be the case. But if we really say, I want Jesus, then all of Jesus has to be what we desire, and that is the church. But going back to the question that you asked, how can we show others the beauty of the Christian community? So I want to cheat just a little bit on this question and actually use the wisdom and the words of someone else that really, really apply to this question. So I want to share five things that we can do to show the beauty of the Christian community. And this list was given to me by one of the great preachers in the Churches of Christ, a preacher by the name of Kent Allen. So he gave five things, and I want to share those with you. I think they'll be beneficial to you. First on the list, attend worship regularly. So we already talked about the importance of Christian community and meeting in person, and this point goes right along with it. You show the beauty of the community by spending time with the community. Like, it'd be really hard to convince someone to join a community that you talk well about and you talk a lot about, but you never are a part of it. Like, you've got to be a part of that community, and a way to do that is by attending church regularly. It's very important. Two, the second thing, minister to the hurting sympathetically. So the church is really an amazing place. I've witnessed so many members that have gone through extreme losses and trials of all kinds, yet they're surrounded by so many Christians, so many other church members, so many community members, if you will, that are there for them. They take them meals, they pray for them, they show up to the funeral, they do all these different things. A community, as bad as this sounds, I don't think we would ever want to join a community that there is not something that we can get out of it. Like, that's why you join, maybe perhaps for what you can give a little bit. But let's be honest, if you're thinking about, okay, I want to join this club in town, well, one of the questions you're going to ask is, what can I get out of it? Is it beneficial to me? Is it worth my time? So if the Christian community is worth our time, a way to prove that is by showing how well we can minister to the hurting sympathetically. Number three in Kent Allen's list is to esteem leaders highly. So in our churches, we have leaders. We have elders, we have deacons, we have ministers, we have different leadership positions. If we hold those leaders up as the ones chosen to lead this community, to lead the church, that's a very important aspect. Number four, live up to its principles consistently. So it would be rather difficult for us to convince someone that the Christian community is important. If we didn't live out any of the principles that we discussed while we were together with the community, that wouldn't make sense. Well, why do you want me to join that community? Because I know the lifestyle you're living. I know the words you're saying. I know the things you're doing go against what you talk about and what you believe within that community. So it's really important that we live out those principles consistently. If we're trying to live one life in a Christian community and a separate life when we are in the secular world, then we're never going to show others the beauty and the benefit of joining that community. And then finally, I think this is a huge one. Speak about the church or the community positively. Speak about it positively. How many of us are guilty about negatively talking about our church or about the Christian community as a whole? Like, no one's ever going to see the beauty if we never have anything good to say about it. Not that communities are perfect. The Christian community is not. Not that churches don't have flaws, because they do. But rather, you realize that sharing those with everyone and with everyone you talk to, that does no good. We got to be people that talk about the church and talk about the Christian community in a positive light.
Yeah, I really appreciate that answer, especially that last point. So for young adults, or for anyone starting a new job, moving to a new city, and with this conversation, finding a new church, it can be scary to go find and meet people. And this is kind of what you were talking about earlier. People aren't going to just go to your doorstep and try to start a community. But I do think in some part, it is up to the church to ensure that we're welcoming new members into our family. Because some new members that we see may not be the most outgoing, you know, extroverted people, they may need that push from other members who are going to welcome them in to their community. So how can we as the church do a better job at welcoming new members into our family?
Yeah, that's another good question. And you mentioned at the beginning how community is not just some buzzword, not just some trendy word. You could throw welcoming up there as well, or being authentic, or cultivate, all these different words that are so popular right now. But I do believe it's a good thing that the word welcoming is so relevant right now and talked about so much right now. I think it's very helpful to realize that each person that comes to your church, whether we could be just talking about visitors here, but like your question said, new members, so people that are Christians that are just perhaps moved to the area or moving churches and just want a new church family, I think it's important to realize that everyone is a sinner who has been justified, has been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. Like, all of us can kind of start on the same level. We're all sinners, as scripture says multiple places, and we all realize that Jesus took to the cross our sins. He wore our sins so that we might become the righteousness of God. There's a quote that's very helpful when we talk about welcoming. It's that the church, and let me say this quote, we don't know who originally said it, but the quote is, "The church is not a museum for saints, but a hospital for sinners." It's hard to think of you and I as a sinner, or people that have been a Christian for 50 years as sinners, and that's not how God sees us. But the reality is that we do sin, and all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, what Romans says. So how can we be more welcoming as a church? I think it's very helpful to make sure that the church is a place of transformation. We want people to come in and be transformed into someone who resembles Christ more each day, not expecting that people come to our church and already have it all together and their life is just perfect, but helping everybody, members, visitors alike, become the person that God wants them to be. Now, before we get to that point, we do have to be very, very careful about that first time that they come to your church. The moment they walk in the door, how can we make sure that they are welcome? I ask that you consider these three questions about welcoming and how your church can be a little bit more welcoming. So the first question is this: is your welcoming heart silent? So in other words, do you believe that welcoming is very important? Do you want to be a welcoming church, but you just stay silent about it? So you're seated next to, in the same pew, new members, but you don't do anything with them. You're happy they're there. You're really excited about it, but you don't make an effort to make them feel welcome. Or is your welcoming heart selective? Like certain people, oh, they got young kids about my kid's age. Let's go meet them because perhaps we could be friends. Whereas, okay, well, there's a single man who's 70 years old. Why would I go talk to them? Right? Is your welcoming heart selective? Or is your welcoming heart non-existent? Is it, you know what, I'm content with where my church is. I don't want anyone else here because it would mess up the friendships I have. I'm good. I don't want to be welcoming. Those are just questions for you to personally consider. I think it's so important as a church that we, right from the very beginning, that we truly make people feel as if they belong there. So often you walk into church buildings now, and on the wall are those three words, "You belong here." So sometimes we tell people you belong here, but people never feel as if they belong here. And I think one thing we could do to combat that is, from the very beginning, give people a job. Give people something to do within the church. If you can make people feel as if they are needed at your church, then I think there's so much more likelihood of them sticking around and being involved and actually buying into the mission of your particular church. But sometimes, you know, we wait years and years and then we may give them a job and then wonder why they're not really on board with it. But what if from the very beginning, okay, great, new member, all right, let's plug you in. How can we get you involved? And involved, I think, really helps for a handful of reasons. One, it introduces them to perhaps a new ministry that they are unfamiliar with. Along with that new ministry, it will for sure open them up to developing relationships with others in the congregation. Often churches, especially larger churches, they can be very intimidating to form strong relationships. Sure, you may know a few people's names and recognize them every Sunday, but plugging them into a particular role that needs assistance is a really good way to make those people feel welcome and as if they truly do belong to the church, because they're starting to form relationships that are a little bit deeper and they're starting to feel as if they truly have a place at that church.
For young adults, or going back to our own lives, why is it so important to be a part of Christian community? And what are some ways we can foster those relationships in those communities as young adult Christians?
Yeah, that's a good one as well. So why is it important that we are a part of a community? Well, the short answer is God designed us to be a part of a community. He didn't design us to live alone. So this goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, when God has formed the man, he has formed Adam, and he tells Adam, he says, "It is not good for man to be alone." That's verse 18 of chapter 2. And God says, "I'm going to make him a helper." So all the animals come to Adam, and there's still no suitable helper to be found. So God If you remember, he causes Adam to go to sleep, and then out of his own flesh, he takes a rib, and God forms a woman, and they became husband and wife. They formed a community, essentially. Now, I don't think this passage is only talking about husband and wives or about marriage. I think it's deeper than that. I think it was God, the Creator himself, who saw the need that man had to be connected to another human being. And we see in this passage that God really has concern for his creation. He designed us to be around other human beings. And when we are alone, as the text says, it is not good. This is why there's a physical effect on our mental health and on our physical health when social connection, when community is taken away. Because we're living a life different from the life that God created us to live. So there's all these studies. In fact, the United States General Surgeon, Dr. Vivek Murthy, in May of 2023, he said that America has a new epidemic, and it's the epidemic of loneliness and isolation. And he's, in that study, a very interesting statistic was shared. And it said that lacking social connection can increase the risk of premature death as much as smoking up to 15 cigarettes per day. So that's unbelievable. So back to your question, why is Christian community important? Because again, God designed us to live in a community. And when we don't live in a community, it affects our health. Like it harms our health, not just our mental health, but our physical health as well. And I think the Bible, it does such a good job of sharing how important the church is and how important that Christian community is. It's interesting to me that it's 100 times exactly in the New Testament that the phrase one another is used. And most of the time one another is used, it's talking about the church and our relationship with one another. So just listen to a few of these statements. Forgive one another, love one another, honor one another, accept one another, serve one another, be patient with one another, show hospitality to one another, pray for one another, confess your sins to one another. And there's many more. The Bible, the New Testament authors especially, they made it clear that the Christian faith, it's one that you do together. You know Philip Yancey, he's an author and a speaker as well. He said that the Christian faith should come with a warning label. Do not attempt to practice alone. I think God would agree with that as well. Don't attempt to practice this alone. You read throughout the New Testament, people were never alone. In fact, when Jesus sent out his disciples in Luke chapter 10, he sent them in pairs, the 72. He sent in pairs. Or you read in the book of Acts, there's never a time where you read that Paul went on a journey alone. He always had someone with him. He had Barnabas, he had Mark, he had Luke, he had all these different people who traveled with him, and they did life together because that's how important it is to be a part of a Christian community. I think, how can we foster those relationships within a community? I really think it comes down to living out the principles in which you believe. Because if you live out the principles in which you believe, I think relationships will blossom. They will flourish. So just a few of those principles, just a short passage. But if you just look within the Sermon on the Mount, and if you truly lived out everything in the Sermon on the Mount, everything about how we interact with other people, and in that, of course, it talks about anger, it talks about lust, it talks about forgiveness, it talks about how to pray, what to pray for. It talks about judging others. It talks about what to seek our minds on or to set our minds on. It talks about all of those different things. If we just lived out those principles each day and in our Christian communities, our relationships would flourish because we realize what is most important. And we share that common that common belief that unites Christians all around the world, again, that Jesus is the Son of God. And he came to this earth, became a man, died on the cross, and then he ascended into heaven. So I think that's just a short way that we could foster those relationships, is if we truly live out the principles that we believe.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way of looking at it. I really appreciate how you said all the one another's, the praying, forgiving, showing hospitality. It really reminds you how seriously and how much God desires us to be a part of that community, like you were talking about at the beginning, and that's something he established in the very beginning. And it shows as you read the New Testament, as you read the letters of Paul, how important it is to be a part of that community, not only to be a part of it, but also show the love of Christ to those in your Christian community. Zachary, this has been a great conversation. Thanks for coming on, especially on short notice.
I appreciate it. I enjoyed it again.
And thank you, everyone, for listening to Road Trips. We will see you down the road.